The National Student Conference is one of the flagship events of CMF, a chance to be inspired, encouraged and equipped for life as a doctor. Welcome to this latest CMF podcast with me, Andrew Horton. Nearly 400 students came to the Hayes Conference Centre in Derbyshire for the 2011 conference. Foreign Body, Following Christ in a World That Rejects Him was the theme, based on Peter's first letter addressed to strangers in the world. The main talks were led by David Robertson, Director of the Solar Centre for Public Christianity, and Dr. Andrew Ferguson, Head of Communications at CMF. And you can hear more of these talks on separate CMF podcasts. But first, I caught up with David in a relatively quiet moment at conference to hear more about his heart for medical students. You're not from a medical background yourself, so what are some of the things that you see from an outside perspective that you think you can pass on to Christian medical students?
Well, I think maybe not just medicine, but perhaps particularly medicine, can be all-consuming for people. I think there's a whole medical subculture, and medics can be an enormous danger of just eating with medics, marrying medics, socialising with medics, working in medicine, going to churches that are full of medics. And I think that we need to move back to a situation where Christians who are doctors see themselves as Christians first and doctors second, but also who see their ministry as doctors as actually being a ministry. So that's a kind of outsider's thing to say. Obviously, all medics are highly intelligent, wonderfully handsome, and stunningly beautiful, and so on. But no, I mean, there's enormous potential here.
Do you think that creates more challenges, as you say, because they are quite high profile, quite active, quite socially mobile people?
Yeah, I think the trouble is, you see, that what happens is if you've made it into med school, you've already made it to one degree because you've obviously been selected, you've had to go, you've had to pass certain exams. You're already there. There's a defined career path for you already. That's its own pluses, but its own cons as well. And I think one of the things that there's a danger of happening, and this is with anybody, is partly the arrogance of youth and partly just the arrogance of humanity. And I think that we really do need to have our feet grounded in scripture and to ourselves be aware of our own limitations and our need of other people as well. I mean, I do feel that psychologically there's a danger of self-sufficiency, socially there's a danger of overwork. And I think there are particular dangers theologically that medics face as well. So, I mean, being a medic is not easy. It's not easy, but it is privileged. And I think how to deal with both those issues is quite important.
Just expand a little bit about the importance of getting stuck into scripture. What does it achieve, particularly when you're in such a high-pressure training program like being a doctor?
Well, I think the trouble is, if you start treating the Bible like any other book, basically, even if you read someone like Dostoevsky or you know, Shakespeare or whatever, two or three readings, you basically got it. With the Bible, you get it, but there's always more. It's the living and enduring Word of God. And I think that there's an enormous temptation when you're in a high-pressure job, when you've got enormous pressures in studies, to have what I would call just the Wikipedia approach to theological knowledge and Christian, you go to church to get a buzz, to get filled up, you read a book, and it tends to be a how-to book, you know, how to witness to gay friends, how to do this. I think that the people here, the doctors here, potential doctors here, of all people, should be people who are thinking for themselves. And they need to learn to think biblically and Christologically and so on. And that does take time. You can't press a button and that happen. And I think one of the things that I'm trying to do here is show them, actually, the Bible really does apply all the time, and you're constantly learning. And in there, it's not that you have the Bible for your church situation and then you've got your medical textbooks for your medical situation and then, you know, you've got your how-to books for social situations that you meet. It's just to see how the Bible just works across everything. Not that it's a medical textbook, because it's not, and it doesn't claim to be. Many things the Bible does not claim to be. But how, as you absorb the Bible, as you learn the Bible, it affects you and it supports you and sustains you in what at times can be very stressful and quite difficult situations.
You mentioned about the importance of reading scripture. What about general spiritual fitness, you know, having your prayer life and your church life, as well as reading the Bible? How important is it to keep your spiritual fitness up, as it were?
Yeah, I think the danger, when I say reading the Bible, the danger is that people just do read the Bible. And that's, I mean, I'm minister of McShane's church, and he had this Bible calendar, famous Bible reading calendar. Stott, Lloyd-Jones and others used it. I use it. I love it. The danger is you just read and that's it. It's to absorb the Bible. And it's interesting, we've been going through 1 Peter, and it's incredible how many times Peter says, it's by the word of God. You're born again by the living and enduring word of God. You grow up as you taste the milk of the word of God. And I would suggest that your prayer life is scriptural, your whole life is scriptural. You don't compartmentalize. So I would suggest you pray the Bible, you sing the Bible, you read the Bible. It is the ultimate in interactive. You know, people talk about, you know, have interactive PowerPoints, interactive, but the Word of God speaks to us directly, and we then speak to others because of that, and that just affects our life, and we speak to God. As you know, there's this constant cycle of communication. So my fear is still that you've got very bright young people here who will just do bite-sized chunks of the Bible, a quick snack as they're heading off to do something that's given more importance. I want to say, look, precisely because you are a medic and you've got enormous pressures of time, you actually need to make sure you're disciplined, not just in saying, I read X number of chapters, but to see how the Bible works through your whole life. And the best way for that to happen is for them to have an appetite for it. So I hope that one of the things I've been trying to do here is get them to realize, wow, this actually is what I need. Particularly in churches, I think that these guys need to be going to churches where there's a high emphasis placed on Bible teaching and practice, as well as the worship. Because I do think there's a tendency to say, I want to go to a church when I get this real buzz from worship, which I actually don't have any objection to that. I think it's a great thing to get a buzz from worship. I'm not going to decry that. But it's why you get the buzz. It's where it comes from. And I think it's got to come ultimately from... I used a phrase at the very first talk, which was I picked up from Sinclair Ferguson, that the imperatives follow the indicatives. In other words, the how-to, the commands and all that kind of stuff, they don't come first. They come after you've received the imperatives, that what did Jesus do? How did this happen? As you are thrilled by that, then it means that you can obey the imperatives. I think if you go straight to the imperatives, you're going to struggle.
How important also is it to be aware and able to articulate some of the big issues, the hot potatoes in the Christian faith, that perhaps people wouldn't have the time to research or to learn about, things like homosexuality or hell and damnation, that sort of thing?
I think it's interesting because at breakfast this morning, and one of the things I enjoy about being at a conference like this is you do get just, I mean, I deliberately go around and sit with different students, and at breakfast this morning, somebody said to me, I just feel that I can't know it all. Now, the interesting thing about that for me was to be able to point out to that particular young lady, you don't have to, you're not expected to. But you're an intelligent person, you should, as well as your medical studies, you have a generally broad reading. And I mean, I advised read one Christian book per month, and, you know, obviously your Bible, and one non-Christian book if you can, you know, or at least get magazines, non-Christian magazines, quality non-Christian, so you're aware of wider issues. I think that there is an enormous danger of having a formulaic approach to the Christian life where you say, here's the issue of homosexuality, here's a book on homosexuality, okay, now I know it. Whereas these are all people who should be able to work things out and think things through for themselves. Now, it's not saying that these books can't be helpful. They can be enormously helpful. But you will communicate much better with your friends if you thought it through yourself, rather than if you're just repeating what you've read in a manual or a program or something. So one of my main aims is, yes, to get people into the Bible, but to get them to think, and to think biblically. You know, to question, to analyze, to apply the scriptures. So I think that is vital. And, you know, you say hot potato issues. Sometimes we'd be surprised what they are. Sometimes what we think hot potato issues are, they no longer are. And sometimes there are issues that are vitally important that nobody's addressing. And it's very interesting just listening to people trying to pick up what those are.
Go on, tell me some of them.
I think one of the things that I've picked up in a couple of the seminars that I did here was the extent to which, how will I put it, people are not even asking the questions. You know, that in a sense, for example, 20 years ago, you'd go to a conference like this and there'd be a lot of stuff on, you know, proving the resurrection and so on. It hasn't even come up once. People are not asking, a lot of people are not asking those kind of questions. They're being faced with issues such, which are based a lot more on feeling. So the question about homosexuality, for example, is not usually a question, it's usually an accusation. What do you think about homosexuality normally means, why are you such a homophobic bigot? And there are so many presuppositions in there that in order to answer that question, you can't answer it directly. You have to go back. You have to ask, what is sexuality? What is a human being? What does Christianity teach? And so on. And I think that a lot of what's a lot of these young people are not being equipped in their churches. They've been given sound bites, and they need more than sound bites.
Is it the foundations they're not getting? Yes. Those are the key tenets of the faith, that perhaps the people are preaching more about issues rather than sort of key principles.
I think the you know, even things like how to communicate, how to question, how to think. I think that, you know, generations ago, people grew up in a culture where in an educational setup, you weren't being taught what to think, you're being taught how to think. I think, bizarrely, in our modern culture, what's happening is people are going to universities to pass exams. So basically, you're being taught what to think. You're not really being taught how to think. The trouble is in the church, I think, I mean, it's a gross generalization, but we've largely reflected that. So there are too many assumptions made. I mean, I come to this conference, assume everyone's a Christian. Last night I sat down with some young people who are not Christians, two of whom thought they were, but they just hadn't a clue. And they loved being able to talk through issues that they hadn't. You know, so I fear that sometimes there's a little bit you buy into this package and you choose your particular package. And one of the things I want to do to people is say, actually, there isn't a package. There's Christ and his word and his, the community of his church. And basically, you've got to work that one out. You've got to work it out for yourself. You work it out within community. That's not a comfortable message for some of the guys here because they're so busy. They've got so many things to do. Oh, no, you know, I don't want to do that. But actually, it works out a lot better for them. So you're right. It's a good point about the foundations. I think a huge part of what I'm trying to do is encourage people to look at their foundations again. Say, where you know, if your foundations are right, you'll build stuff that's pretty good. You know, some of it will get knocked down, but at least you go back to the foundation and start again. But if your foundation's wrong, no matter what you build, it will undermine. So I think we are doing foundational stuff. I mean, it was difficult for me doing a broad sweep of 1 Peter, but what I did is just provoke people to say, there's a whole lot more in here than I realized. And if I've even done that, it's been worthwhile.
Okay, David, thanks for speaking to us. David Robertson there, Director of the Solar Centre for Public Christianity, speaking to me from the CMF National Student Conference. And for more great resources for students, you can go to our website, that's www.cmf.org.uk. Follow the links to the student pages. Also check out the official CMF blog, which can be found at www.cmfblog.org.uk. For now, goodbye.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Christian Medical Fellowship.